There we are. Right. We do record the sermons. So this one's going to be quite interesting because you're going to hear a lot of squeaky noises at the beginning of the recording. But, you know, that's just me getting organised. We had a few technical issues with the computer as well. So I do apologise if you've seen some flashing of screens up there. But let's get down to business. Have you ever sat down and considered what you've learned over the time of being a Christian? For some of you, it may have been a very short time. And for others, it may have been many, many years. I became a Christian in the 80s, which is possibly before some of you were even born. But it's when the church was undergoing quite a large growth following the Billy Graham missions and the various other big name evangelists. But when I got saved in a small Elim church in Rotherham, rather than in those big meetings. And I'm thankful for that, because it gave me a good perspective and appreciation for local churches doing one-to-one evangelism. This morning, we're going to look at the Christian life. And we're going to set some facts straight that have possibly been misrepresented in the past. I know in the years that I've been a Christian, I've heard sermons preached on things, and it's not necessarily been the right message. So what I'm aiming for this morning is to give you a bit of a few of the lessons that I've learned over the years, and also, you know, we're going to look at what Peter has to say. We'll be looking at 2 Peter chapter 1. If you've got your Bibles with you, you can turn to that. I'll be reading this morning from the New International Version. There's always a danger of misunderstanding what's being said or what's being taught, especially when it comes to the teaching on good works. There's a temptation to think that we need to add to the salvation that God has freely given to us. There's also a risk that we will think that God loves us based on what we do, rather than being based on who he is. And that kind of thinking can tie us up in knots and lead to all kinds of problems. So over my years as a Christian, I've learned some valuable lessons. And here are just a few of them. Firstly, you don't get everything right first time, but if you keep going, you'll get there eventually. Now, this sermon is only one sermon of the many that you'll hear throughout your journey. And you should understand that not everything that I'm going to say this morning is right. You need to accept that. But I hope it is. The aim of someone who's preaching is to present the truth of God's word. And that's what we're aiming to do this morning. But sometimes we get it wrong. Sometimes we make mistakes, we misinterpret what God's saying, and we just don't get it right. But as you progress in your Christian life, God reveals the truth to you. So there's a danger there. There's a danger of being up here in a pulpit and preaching. And you need to be aware of that danger, and I need to be aware of that danger, so that I'll be aiming my sermons to look at God's word and try and look at it as accurately as I can, but also that you should be interpreting it based on what you understand from God's word as well. You should never consider what people say at the front as being infallible. Just because someone is preaching at the front doesn't necessarily mean that they are without fault. You need to burn up the hay, wood, and straw and be left with the gold. So this morning, as we look at God's word, we're going to be looking at what Peter is saying. We're looking at what Peter is saying about the Christian life. But I want you to see it in the context of that this is not just... it's what I'm kind of trying to present to you as I've learned over the years as well. But also recently what God has been teaching me in the matter of grace. So, The first part of this sermon is based on verses 1 to 4. So let's read through verses 1 through to 11 of 2 Peter. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Saviour Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is short-sighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. So as we look at this passage, we'll be looking to see what we can do to make our calling and election sure. Now, we start the Christian life from the position of salvation. That salvation is complete, and we cannot and should not attempt to contribute to it in any way. Our salvation is a gift from God through Jesus Christ. It's not earned, it's not through works, it is a gift from God. And that's where we all start our Christian life. And this is an important lesson that we need to take time over. A lot of the problems that we see in people's lives are because they have the wrong understanding of what salvation is. They think that they still need to add to what Christ has already done for us in order for God to be pleased with them or to earn their salvation. And that's not what the Bible says. Peter says that we have received a faith, and that God has given us everything we need. And also that God has given us his very great and precious promises. It's all gifts from God. Faith is a gift from God. Salvation is a gift from God. But sadly, in some of the last 25 years of my life, I've heard sermons that come over as though we need to do something to add to what God has done in order to earn salvation or to make God happy with us. And those kinds of sermons are very damaging to people's faith and their self-esteem. So it's important that we realise and we hear again and again that we are saved by grace alone. It's by grace you've been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. The truth is that we cannot add to what God has done in order to earn salvation. Instead, God gives us our salvation as a completed work. And then God gives us everything we need in order to improve our lives. In our passage here, Peter says that the saints reading the letter have a faith as precious as ours, he says. Other translations have put it as a faith of equal standing with ours. In the Christian life, there is no caste system. There is no class society that Christians belong to. There are no second-class citizens in God's kingdom. There are no favourites that receive a special extra helping of saving faith. No. All believers have the same faith being given to them by God. Peter says that this gift of faith is through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's all because of our Saviour and not because of us. Peter goes on in verse 3 to say that God has given us everything we need to succeed in the Christian life through his own divine power. So therefore, we start the Christian life from a position of salvation, and we continue in the Christian life in the power of God. God has given and given and given again. Through and through, God has given us everything we need. So we need these gifts, Peter says, to escape the corruption in this world. If you think of it as though on one side we have evil desires from the world, and on the other side we have God's goodness and glory. And God's promises are like a path that leads away from those evil desires towards his goodness and glory. So with that in mind, what do you think our response should be when we are in this position? On the one side, we have the evil desires of this world, and on the other side, we have God's glory and God's goodness. Well, we've got three options. We could back away from God and succumb to the evil desires of this world. We could stay on the edge with our salvation and not pursue the good things that God has for us. Or we could, as Peter says, participate in the divine nature and enjoy the goodness and glory of God. So when we start our Christian life from that position of salvation, and we cannot add to the work of Christ in order to be saved, but God gives us more on top of the faith that we've received. And this is what Peter covers in the next few verses, verses 5 to 9. And he goes through this list of virtues to add to our faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. These seven virtues Peter lists out as extras that we are to add on top of our faith. So based on what I said before, Peter is not saying here that we need to add these qualities in order to be saved. No, he's saying that once we are saved, we should be adding these qualities on top of our faith. Peter says that we should add to our faith. And Peter also says that we should make every effort. Therefore, there is something to do on our part. Goodness. We are called to do good works. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, going from what I said earlier in verses 8 and 9 about grace, for it is grace by which we are saved. For we are God's workmanship, it says in verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 2, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God has given us the opportunity to do good works. Peter goes on in his list to list out knowledge, that we should be adding knowledge. The Bible teaches us that we grow in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So in Colossians chapter 1, verse 10, and we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. He also lists out self-control, which, as you know, is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. He adds perseverance to the list. And we know that suffering produces perseverance. And Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And also in James chapter 1, verse 4, he says that perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. So as part of the Christian life, you can see these virtues growing and continuing to grow as we walk the Christian path. Peter also mentions godliness there. We are called to become more godly, more like Jesus Christ, the Son of God. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Also, brotherly kindness is listed there. The Bible also teaches us that brotherly kindness and the unity of the body of Christ in the church is vital. Romans chapter 12, verse 10, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honour one another above yourselves. So Peter is listing out these virtues with a basis in the rest of the Bible. And finally, love. And there's just so much in the Bible about love as the chief of all virtues. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13. But the greatest of these is love. So here in 2 Peter, he's listing out these virtues, saying that we should add them to our faith as we mature as Christians, as we walk in the Christian life. We are to add these virtues. And these are all gifts that God has given us. Back in our text in verse 8 of 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter also gives us a solid reason why we should do these things. God has given us these virtues for us to be both productive and effective in our Christian lives. They are basically to give us a full and meaningful life, and escape the trap of living with a kind of what's the point to it all. If you're living like that, then the answer is here in 2 Peter. The virtues that God has given us help us to live at that full and meaningful life. Therefore, if we follow the path of those precious promises and participate in the divine nature, then we will enjoy the goodness and the glory of God. Whereas if we stay on the edge with our salvation and do not pursue the good things that God has for us, then we are as good as blind to what God has done for us. So we start the Christian life from a position of salvation. We can't add to the work of Christ in order to be saved. But God gives us more to add on top of that faith that we've received. And the result is that we have a full life, pressed down and overflowing, and a rewarding future. Peter concentrates on that future in the next section, verses 10 and 11. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Peter again uses language that shows us that there's effort on our part to be all the more eager and to do these things, he says. But Peter is not saying that we should do these things in order to be saved. And I'm kind of saying this over and over again to drill it into you, really, that these good works are not for you to be saved, but for you to live a Christian life. Peter is also not saying that we should do these things in order for God to love us more. We don't do things in order to earn God's attention or blessing. We already have God's attention and blessing. God has given us everything in Jesus Christ. So the purpose of this, Peter says here, the purpose of these is threefold. Firstly, to make our calling and election sure. Secondly, to keep us from falling. And thirdly, to receive a rich welcome in heaven. Now, what does Peter mean, do you think, by that phrase, to make our calling and election sure? Well, I think it's related to the other two points, the points of keeping us from falling and receiving a rich welcome. It's all related to each other. Peter is not saying that we need to do something in order to be saved. And again, I'll say that. Peter is, in fact, saying that because we are saved, we should be doing something. And this is what he's been saying all along. The key word here is sure, making that calling elective, an election sure. We are making sure. Because the words calling an election are something that we have no control over. It's God who calls, and it's God who elects. Therefore, as God's called and elected children of God, we need to do something. We're called and elected to do something. This doing something is simply to do what Peter has been saying here, adding virtues to our faith. So on the one side, we have evil desires from the world. And on the other, we have God's glory and goodness. And God's promises are like that path that leads away from those evil desires towards God's goodness. I asked you earlier, what do you think our response should be in this position? We could back away from God and succumb to the evil desires of this world. Or as Peter puts it, we could fall. We can stay on the edge with our salvation and not pursue the good things that God has for us and be at greater risk of falling. Or we could, as Peter says, participate in the divine nature and enjoy the goodness and glory of God. God has given us salvation and everything we need for life and godliness, just like he gave the promised land to the children of Israel. It's our responsibility to enter that promised land and take possession of the good things that God has already given to us, to add to our faith all of those virtues. So we start the Christian life from a position of salvation. We cannot add to the work of Christ in order to be saved. But God gives us more to add on top of the faith that we have received. And the result is that we have a full life, pressed down and overflowing, and a rewarding future. Amen.
Lord, we give you thanks and praise that, Lord, it isn't down to what we do, Lord, but, Lord, that you have provided a free salvation, Jesus. We thank you for that truth we've heard of, your great grace towards us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that the good works that you've prepared for us, Lord, aren't things that we do to earn your favour, Lord, but, Lord, they're the result of salvation in Jesus. It's because we have been saved, because you have chosen us in Christ, because Jesus has shed his blood for us, that, Lord, then we long to serve you with our lives in thankfulness for what you've done in saving us. So, Lord, we thank you for your grace, and we thank you for the opportunities to express our thankfulness as we serve you together. In Jesus' name, amen.